actually lived in Pickering on staff at a church in Toronto. I still remember the day on the 401, which is a pretty busy highway, four lanes express, four lanes collectors. And I remember driving by a lady in a van who was eating cereal from a bowl with her spoon on the 401. One more picture. That's not me, although I have found myself in that situation once or twice. We hear a whole lot about distracted driving these days. There are laws, fines, to try to keep people from being distracted drivers. We know that distracted drivers can kill, can cause great damage by not paying attention. So with those images in mind, as we go back to the book of Ephesians, it's really a call today for you and I to pay attention. Pay attention. I would suggest that in our own journey of life, in our own spiritual journey, we are constantly being threatened with so many distractions. So many things that can distract us and get us off the main focus and the main game. And so this morning, it's going to be a call to simply pay attention. Pay attention in the place of prayer. Don't fall asleep at the wheel. Don't shave. No, that's for free. So Ephesians chapter 6, and it's a familiar letter written by Paul to the church at Ephesus. And we're in Ephesians chapter 6, that really familiar passage where Paul identifying spiritual warfare, calling us to put on the armor of God. That's not our focus, but it's the context in which we find verse 18. In this one verse, Paul makes four statements about prayer that are all anchored with this word all. All. So on our first Sunday, we said praying at all times in the Spirit. Praying, I-N-G. We have too much pray and not enough praying. Paul says praying at all times, praying in the Spirit. We said a few things. We said that, number one, prayer is never out of season. It's never inappropriate for us to be praying. Praying at all times. And that phrase in the Spirit, well, we connected to that first phrase, it actually speaks to the whole of verse 18. And so we can keep coming and adding that from time to time. We're familiar with the language of praying. Praying at all times. And we said this, our journey statement was, prayer is meant to be an active, ongoing partnership with God. Praying, an active, ongoing partnership with the Spirit of God. That's what prayer is. It's you and I connecting with God Himself. Active, ongoing. We can't lose sight of the impact and the provision and the responsibility of prayer. Eugene Peterson, who's a writer I enjoy very much, and he wrote this in one of his books. He said, now this sounds counterintuitive because he's a Christian man, a pastor, and he sounds like he's trying to discourage you from praying, but he does say this, be slow to pray. Praying puts us at risk of getting involved with God's conditions. I like that. Praying puts us at risk of getting involved with God's conditions. Praying most often doesn't get us what we want, but what God wants, something quite at variance with what we conceive to be our best interests at times. And when we realize what's going on, it's often too late to go back. So Peterson, tongue-in-cheek, says, be careful when you pray. Because you're not just putting your order in. You're connecting with the God of the universe, and you're going to hear His voice. You get involved with His work, His condition, His mission, and it'll impact your life. So we come to God praying at all times. Praying at all times. Active, ongoing participation with the Spirit. Praying at all times in the Spirit. Ing. Praying at all times. Last Sunday, we looked at the second phrase that says, with all prayer and supplication. And we said that wonderful line, there's more than one way to skin a cat, which I don't understand. I've never tried. I don't understand that. But people say that all the time. But our point is that there's more than one tool in the toolbox. There's more than one way that we can pray. Scripture's filled with all kinds of expressions of how we come to God and how we learn to pray. And so we said last week that may we embrace, expand, and explore all kinds of prayer. My prayer is, my heart, my desire is that you and I in 2016 would find ourselves praying in new ways in a greater dimension than ever before. Not just the same old, same old, same old, but learning to grow, to embrace, expand, and explore all kinds of prayer. From the breath prayers punctuating our day to moments of prayer and fasting, where we set aside something good for something better. We're not on a hunger strike, we're just hunger for more of God. May we fill our lives with all these expressions of prayer. And again, always doing it in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to lead us, listening to Him, to be lifted, to be empowered by the Spirit in our prayer. It's a wonderful thing when you're praying and you feel the Spirit of God empowering you in that place of prayer. And your spirit prays directly to the Spirit of God. So we come now to the third all statement that Paul tucks in. After he talks with all of these things with the armor of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Here's the next one. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. No rocket science here today. Three phrases. We'll walk through each one of them very specifically. To that end, phrase number one, keep alert. Phrase number two, and then finally, with all perseverance. So Paul says, to that end. Now, I don't know about you, but when you read your Bible, your mind should be engaged. But when I read that, I go, to that end, what end? To that end, what end? Paul says, to that end, what end is he talking about? Now, I'm going to suggest two things this morning. And by the way, one of the things that I teach students in first year hermeneutics how to read and study Scripture is that context is king. Context is everything. A little one-liner we say is that a text, a verse without context is merely a pretext, a presumption. If you don't know the context, listen, folks, I warn you that without context, you can make the Bible say all kinds of crazy things. That's how cults and false judgment, false teaching comes in. We take a phrase out of context and we build a doctrine out of it. So a text without a context is merely a pretext. So when Paul says, to that end, what end is Paul talking about? Well, I'm going to suggest that to that end should point us towards the context of this passage, but also the whole letter of Ephesians. So to that end, the first part, right in this immediate context, this verse, verse 18, all these references to prayer comes in the same paragraph where Paul has reminded us, warned us, that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, rulers of darkness. Paul's reminding us that we are involved in spiritual warfare. That's what this paragraph's all about. We are involved, we are engaged in spiritual warfare. We do not war against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers, principalities, darkness. So Paul says, to that end, understanding that you and I are daily facing resistance, facing opposition, facing an enemy. To that end, understanding that each and every day we are at war with a spiritual enemy. To that end, Paul said. How many remember the book that was written back in 1986? It was called This Present Darkness. Anyone remember that? A little novel, Frank Peretti. He then wrote a whole three or four all in the same genre. And for those who don't know, didn't read it, it's not a bad read. They're not theological textbooks. They are novels. But he writes a story about people living their life in a town, and he writes the narrative of their town, but then he also begins to write the narrative of the spiritual powers, and he names the demonic forces, the angelic forces that are also at play over the lives that are being lived in this town. And so it was actually well done to make us think that what Paul says, we are not warring against flesh and blood. As we live our lives, there's a spiritual battle all around us. Paul says to that end. Now, I say they were good books to read. They're not theological textbooks. It's sanctified imagination at best. But it does create this idea that you and I live in a world where we're living in this natural realm, and there's a spiritual realm that envelops us all about, that we are part of, and part of that spiritual realm is an enemy who's trying to take us out. So when Paul says to that end, I believe first and foremost, he's reminding us about the fact that we are facing spiritual warfare. Now, I think I mentioned it last week. I get excited. I get a little bit ahead of myself. But I mentioned last week, we can do two extreme dangers when it comes to spiritual warfare. The one is to trivialize the enemy and say it's no big deal. To be too lax and relaxed. The other extreme is to become terrorized by the enemy. Two extremes. We don't become terrorized because greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. I live in the authority of Christ. I do not have to be terrorized by the enemy, but nor do I treat him like a plaything. I don't rebuke the enemy. I can pray the Lord rebuke you, because it's not my authority, it's the Lord's authority. I don't treat him like a plaything. I don't trivialize him. I don't become slack. So Paul says, to that end, knowing that you and I are facing spiritual warfare, knowing that there's a one who's out to get us, how did Jesus say it? Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life abundantly. But before that, he says, there's an enemy, there's a thief who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. That's our enemy. That's his intent. That's his MO. He's out to steal, kill, and to destroy. He's described as a lion roaming, seeking whom he may devour. So there is an enemy. So to that end, Paul says, understanding this spiritual warfare, and by the way, Paul's very clear in this passage that it's real, but he doesn't write it to make people terrified. I mentioned Frank Peretti. I still remember he wrote one book, and then wrote his second book, and then the publishing company, I'm a little cynical, the publishing company realized we've got a winner here, and so his third book, they pre-sold. They were selling the book before he was even in the stores. It was called The Prophet, I believe. And we were pastoring in Morden, Manitoba, 11 kilometers away. It was Winkler, Manitoba, the twin towns there in southern Manitoba, and that's where we had a Bible bookstore. So I remember going there one day. I was buying some stuff for the church, and this third book had finally come out by Frank Peretti called The Prophet, and there it was on the counter. So I'm making small talk with the lady behind the counter. I said, oh, I see it's finally out. Have you read it? And she said, oh, yes, I read it, and I couldn't sleep for 3 nights. And the word that went through my mind was, how stupid is that? You read a novel and you couldn't sleep for 3 nights? That's kind of missing the point. Paul's not writing this to terrify us. He's writing us to prepare us. So to that end, immediate context, to that end, the end of spiritual warfare. To that end, immediate context. But let me also broaden the picture, take a step back and say, to that end is not just about this ongoing warfare and the resistance of the enemy that we face, But look at the broader picture of the entire letter of Ephesians. Paul has made a point, as he's written throughout this letter, of setting the reader up with the understanding, the appreciation for who they are in Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, he begins that paragraph, verse 3 through 11. I'm not going to read each paragraph. We won't take time for that this morning. But in that paragraph, he begins by saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, when he chose us in him before the foundation. The letter begins by Paul saying, I want to remind you, not just about the resistance, but the resources of heaven towards you. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places when God called you. Oh, to that end. And then later in chapter 1, verse 17 through 24, Paul says, I'm praying for you. And this is exactly what I'm praying. And he actually writes out his prayer for the people at Ephesus. And part of that prayer, he prays that their eyes of understanding would be opened to realize who they are called to be, the hope they have, and the immeasurable greatness of the power towards us who believe. Yes. Paul says, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I'm praying that your spiritual eyes would be open. Don't you love when we sing choruses like, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, and we all close our eyes. Open the eyes of my... I think that's always funny, but we know what it's all about. But Paul says, I pray that your spiritual eyes will be open to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, to all that you've been called to, the hope that you have, the immeasurable greatness of his power that is working towards those who believe. The immeasurable power of God. You can't put a tape measure on it, guys. It's too big. It's working towards me who believe. Chapter 3, he prays again. Second prayer that Paul records for them. Again, he's praying that they'll be strengthened through his spirit, the power of his spirit. Again, he's praying for eyes to be open, for growing awareness, to be understanding. He prays that they'll be strengthened in their inner man, their inner woman, their inner person. I'll pray you being strengthened in your inner person to understand this God of us, what he's up to. And by the way, this God that we're praying to, Paul says, is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, imagine, daydream about. To that end, to the God who's able to do all of that and more. And would I even suggest that even in this the immediate context of chapter 6, as Paul reminds us about the resistance, the enemy, the spiritual warfare, he says that you will stand. That you will stand. And having done all things, stand. So to that end, it's not just that, oh, be careful, there's a spiritual warfare going on there, but to that end, because God has prepared us. There's a resistance, yes, but we have the resources of heaven at our disposal. So to that end, Paul says, with all that in mind, knowing that we face an enemy, but knowing that the power of God is in us and working through us and for us, to that end, Paul says, keep alert. Keep alert. That's how the English Standard Version renders this original Greek verse. Keep alert. Other translations use different words. Alert, ready, aware, awake, pay attention. To keep alert, I think it's self-explanatory, a keen sense of awareness of what is around you. Ready, a state of preparedness. You're ready. You're ready. Aware, again. Your eyes are open to see what is, you are aware of what's going around you. Awake as opposed to sleep. Which sometimes my preaching can help people to rest before the Lord. It's an added blessing, added blessing, added blessing. Awake as opposed to asleep. Physically awake, not asleep, slumbering spiritually. Pay attention. Being totally connected to what is going on around you. So we understand the sense of this, don't we? Paul says, to this end, knowing that there's resistance and the resources of heaven are made available to us, to that end, he says, I want you to keep alert. If I could render it my own way, it'd be heads up. Heads up. Heads up. Be paying attention. Heads up so you know what is on the horizon, what is coming your way. And really, Paul is not coming up with something brand new, but he's echoing the teaching of Jesus himself. Back in Mark chapter 13, Jesus writes these words, or says these words. Mark records them. Mark, who's my favorite gospel writer. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So you and I don't know the times that are coming. We don't know the day of the Lord. Only God knows that. The disciples wanted to have insight, and Jesus goes, of course not. Only the Father knows that. But in light of that, Jesus says, be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands at the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come in the evening or at midnight, when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And when I say what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Wake up, Jesus says. Wake up to the realities of what's around you. Be spiritually alert. Heads up. In Matthew 26, again, near the end of Jesus' life and ministry. And here's the occasion where Jesus, he's going into the garden to pray, to intercede. He's about to drink the cup. He's got the world, literally the weight of the world on his shoulders in prayer. And he goes off to pray, and he invites the disciples to come with him, some as a group, a few closer to him, and he goes off to pray. And we all know the story. He comes back, and he finds them asleep. Now, I'm not going to have an altar call here now, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only person to ever fall asleep while praying. You're laying before the Lord, which is, I actually like to lay before the Lord. But if I'm really tired, it's probably not a good decision to lay before the Lord. And you wake up with a little pool of drool off to the side. It's a little awkward, and you look around, is anyone seeing me? We, in our homilies course that I teach at the college, I take the students up for a lab in the chapel where they're preparing to preach, and I want them just to go and sit with the text. Just the Bible, paper, and a pen, and just sit with the text and listen to God and what he's saying through his word. And again, they scattered across the chapel. But again, remember that awkward moment where someone laid down on a few chairs, and after a little while, you heard this noise. And it wasn't intercession. Jesus says, be awake. And here, he finds the disciples sleeping. He's correcting them. He's challenging them, not just at this moment, but what's coming behind. He says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. He goes off to begin to pray, and then he comes back and finds them sleeping. So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, he says, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Folks, the truth is, our spirit often is willing. Our flesh can be weak. That's the facts. But the bigger teaching is that Jesus, watch and pray. Be watchful. Keep alert. Heads up. Heads up for what's happening around you so that you're not taken off guard. You're not surprised. We read from Psalm 130 this morning that said, even as the watchman waits for the morning, you're the watchman. You're on the walls. You're watching over the enemy who may be coming against the city. You are standing on behalf of all those who are sleeping and you're waiting for the morning. You don't want to fall asleep. You don't want to fall asleep on your duty because the whole city's in your responsibility. So Jesus, I want you to be watching and praying because there's a spiritual realm around you. Things are unfolding. Pay attention. Paul, who writes us in Ephesians, in Colossians 4:2, I love what he says there. He says, continue earnestly in prayer, being watchful in it, being vigilant. Again, be alert, heads up. So to this end, there's a resistance, there's the resource of heaven. To that end, be alert. And then Paul says this last phrase, with all perseverance. With all perseverance. To that end, keep alert, heads up, with all perseverance. Again, different translations use the phrase adhere firmly or remain devoted or persist in. Again, the McKnight translation, we just don't quit. Just don't quit. Just don't stop. Just keep holding on. Sometimes with white knuckles, but just keep holding on to God in prayer. Jesus says, watch and pray. Paul says, to that end, heads up, be alert, and just don't quit. Again, two stories that Jesus tells. We alluded to them last week, but both in Luke 11, 8, and again in Luke 18. In Luke 11, 8, it's a story about the neighbor who finds himself in trouble. And Jesus says, because of his persistence, his perseverance, the neighbor will rise up and give him as many as he needs. How much more will the Father who is in heaven give you the Holy Spirit when you ask? In Luke 18, it's the story of the widow and the unjust judge. Understand, the reluctant neighbor and the unjust judge are not representations of God. They are foils. They are contrasts to God. If a reluctant neighbor, how much more will your Father? In the second story in Luke 18, we're dealing with an unjust judge. And the story is, you keep asking because if an unjust judge will give up just to make her go away, how much more will your Father? Again, God is not like he's the opposite of the unjust judge. How much more? And in Luke 18, it says, nevertheless, the Son of Man, when he comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find those who keep holding on in prayer? So to that end, knowing that we're facing stuff that's bigger than us, heads up, don't fall asleep, be alert, and with all perseverance, just keep holding on. If I could summarize, heads up, hold on, don't quit. Heads up, hold on, don't quit. Paul, as he reminds us about all that's going on around us, he calls us to the place of prayer and says, keep on praying with perseverance. Don't let go of God. Don't let go of God. So this morning, I want us to do that. Twyla, can you come and just play quietly? I love Twyla's piano playing. And just come and just begin to play quietly, if you wouldn't mind. Whatever you want, no pressure. So our place is just to believe in God and just keep holding on, church. That's what we're called to do. Not to try to figure it out, not to try to ration, just to keep looking to God and holding on. When you go through the Gospel of Mark, you find these different moments of belief and unbelief. Where there's belief, God, Jesus, does some pretty amazing things. Where there's unbelief, we read things like he marveled at their unbelief. And another occasion says he couldn't do much in that town because of their unbelief. He was limited, which is kind of scary that my doubt or my choosing not to keep holding on, that act of me not holding on to God can limit a limitless God. It's quite the thought. Oh, tucked into the Gospel of Mark is the story of the one parent who desperately wants Jesus to touch their child. So Jesus, in this theme of believe it or not, he says, do you believe? Remember the father said, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I love that. I'm not trying to fake something. I'm not trying to become something that is beyond me. I'm just putting all my faith in God. And at times, even my unbelief I can bring to him. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I'm believing with you, but there's little bits of doubt that kind of chew at the edges, that kind of come into the sides of my life. And so, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. To that end, knowing that each one of us are facing all kinds of challenges, we're facing an enemy who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We're facing obstacles, things that are just tough to go through. To that end, knowing that he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. To that end, that his immeasurable power is working towards those who believe. To that end, that he's the one who does exceedingly above all that we can ask, think, or imagine. To that end, we can stand facing the enemy, we can, having done all, we can stand in Christ. To that end, heads up, be alert, and with all perseverance, keep holding on to God. My suspicion is this morning there are many in this place, and there's some things that you've been persevering in for a long time. And I'm here to say, don't become weary in well-doing, church. Don't give up. Don't give up. Keep looking to God, putting your faith and trust in God. So this is what I'm asking or suggesting that we do this morning as we come to a conclusion time. But I'm going to ask those who are on for prayer this morning, the prayer team, just to come and stand across the front here. These people are no different than any one of us, but they have been put in a place and trusted to be trustworthy, just to help us to agree in prayer together. So as Twyla plays, and thank you, Twyla, for doing that. I forgot to actually mention that to you earlier. This morning, church, we can close officially in a few moments, officially a benediction, so people feel free to leave. And by the way, prayer is spiritual. Fellowship, if we focus on people, is also spiritual. But if you're here this morning and it's been a long, you're trying to hold on to God for something, we just want to agree with you this morning. It's not going to be the length of our prayer or how loud we pray. We just want to agree with you in Jesus' name, saying, Lord, we're going to keep holding on. To that end, we're going to keep holding on and believing God. And so we're just going to add our faith to your faith this morning. And we're going to come together in a moment of agreement saying, God, may it be so. May it be so. Okay, church? So, Lord, I pray in the big picture that all of us would be reminded about not giving up in prayer. And Lord, specifically, there are people here this morning. For some, it could be provision. For some, it's the salvation of someone close to them, a family member. For some, it's a health issue. For some, they're just feeling an incredible sense of the enemy trying to destroy. Lord, whatever it is, to that end, we want to have heads up, hold on. And together we're going to agree in prayer that we're just not going to quit. We're not going to let go of you till we've seen you work your kingdom, your will in us and through us. So I pray, God, for all of us that this call to prayer will be just again strengthened and we'd be encouraged and just not to give up. But I pray for something very special to happen in these next few moments as we have prayers of agreement that, God, we're going to feel and sense the breakthrough. 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 In the name of Jesus. So Lord, we pray based upon your spiritual blessings. We pray upon your immeasurable power towards us. We pray about your spirit that works inside of us, strengthening the inner man. Do all that work, I pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So friends, if you want prayer, this is going to be really informal. We don't have to sing songs. Twyla's going to minister in music. But you just, if you want to come and just have, say, you know, pastors agree with me or any one of these people, just step out and we would be delighted just to pray with you, just to agree with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we get all full up, just come and sit and wait and we'll pray with you as soon as we can.